Appreciate that. Beautiful. They're so sweet to trust in Jesus. If you will, let's open our Bibles this evening to, or this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. We are looking today at the truth that is stated in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The apostle Paul, inspired as he was of the Holy Spirit in writing this letter to Timothy, whom we see he calls his dearly beloved son, that is, his son in the faith, he states this truth: for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some suggest that the truth in this verse is stated, it is only applied to Paul and Timothy because of the word us. For God hath not given us. They would say that it was only upon Timothy that Paul had laid his hands, as we see in verse 6, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Men would say this truth that we are looking at today, that it can only apply to the apostle Paul and Timothy, that they are the ones included in the word us. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Well, I do not disagree that this applied especially when written to Timothy. He had a tendency, evidently, to fearfulness. But I see that this is true of every child of God, because if you follow the word us down to verse 9, who hath saved us? He's not just talking about Paul. That verse, rather, is not just speaking about Paul and Timothy, because this is true of every person who is saved. Who saved us? God did. Amen. Who hath saved us and called us? Who called us? It is God the Holy Spirit who called us, who saved us, and everyone who is saved, everyone who is called, is not according to our works, but according to his, that is God's own purpose and grace which was given us when? Before the foundation of the world, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. There are two things that the Scriptures tell us, at least, that God did before the foundation of the world. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He founded the earth upon nothing. He spoke the worlds into existence. But two things that we are told that He did before the foundation of the world is He chose His people in Christ, as this verse tells us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him. And when was that? Before the foundation of the world. So this verse of Scripture, while it may have had special word to Timothy, but I'm convinced it applies to all of us here today. I know it does. Charles Spurgeon once commented on these words in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. That verse says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And then he pointed out five different men in the Old Testament to whom God spoke those words. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And then his comment was this, that when God opens up a well, when God opens up a well filled with water, when God opens up a well for one of His children, every child of God has the freedom to come and to drink from it. Amen. And while this verse may have applied especially at first to Timothy, we all have the freedom today to come and drink from it. Surely this text is a well. It is a well from which all of us, all of the us who are saved, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the foundation of the world, this is a well from which all of us may come and drink. In Isaiah, the Scripture says, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Well, as we look at this truth, and that's one thing I want all of us to get a hold of, first of all, this is a truth that is stated. It's not a there's not a maybe so, there's not a perhaps in this verse of Scripture. It is simply stated as a truth, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, we have a negative and a positive, and that's the way I would like to divide the verse, my message this morning. First, the negative. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, one of the wells of salvation is the Spirit of God. That verse of Scripture tells us, "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." One of those wells might be named the Father, the Father's work in salvation. One of those wells might be named the Son, the eternal Son's work in salvation. We draw water out of the wells of salvation. We draw joy out of the wells of salvation. That is the work of God the Father in purposing a people, in choosing a people. And we draw joy and water out of the wells that comes from the Son of God, who came into this world to redeem us. But let's not forget God the Holy Spirit. Let's not forget God the Holy Spirit. One of the wells of salvation is the Spirit of God. No one is, No one has ever been saved apart from the work of God the Holy Spirit. God saves us. We worship and praise God, who is our Savior, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know we all have a tendency, because the Son, as the God-man, is set forth to us as the Savior, we all have a tendency to emphasize His work, but the work of God the Holy Spirit is also essential in the salvation of a sinner. For God, for the Spirit, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This holy calling. Notice verse 9 again, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. The holy calling, or the effectual call, is almost always ascribed to God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit who is given and is called by several titles, but He's never called by the title, the spirit of fear. He's never called by that title. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The fear in this verse is the opposite of that filial fear that a son has for a father. A son reverences his father. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, but the fear in this verse is not that reverential fear, but it is that fear that the Apostle John tells us has torment. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. God the Holy Spirit is not ever called the spirit of fear. The Lord Jesus Christ called Him the spirit of truth. He said, I shall pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. And then He refers to the other comforter, that is, God the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth. The Apostle Paul, he calls Him the Spirit of Christ, because it is through the work of Christ that God the Holy Spirit is given. And he also calls Him the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is in every child of God as both a seal and an earnest in every child of God. Look back to Ephesians chapter 4 just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Spirit of Christ. Again, I would emphasize this, that the Holy Spirit is never called the spirit of fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 we read, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He is called the Spirit of promise, but never the Spirit of fear. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Have you ever thought about that word in verse 13, or verse 12 rather, who first trusted in Christ? Who first trusted in Christ? Who first trusted in Christ? The Father. God the Father. He first trusted in Christ when He gave His chosen people to Christ. He trusted in Christ that Christ would come and fulfill all of the engagements as a surety for those of his people who first trusted in Christ. You see the antecedent of that here in our text this morning. If you look back, it was God who first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of his glory, God's glory. Who first trusted in Christ? God did. He first trusted in Christ. But now notice the apostle tells us, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. No one is ever saved apart from the truth, from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said there's people that preach a message that comes very close sometimes maybe to the gospel, but it's not really the gospel. One of the ways that you can always identify the false gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, does not allow man to glory. God gets all the glory in the saving of a sinner. We hear the gospel and we believe, we trust in Christ. And when that takes place, notice, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, the apostle, verse 6 rather, the apostle said, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So this is a stated truth. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of promise, the spirit of truth, Christ's spirit. Every child of God who's saved by the grace of God has God the Holy Spirit living in us. Paul tells us that our bodies become the temples of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the spirit of truth, the spirit of promise, but he has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, is this to say that God's children who are given the Holy Spirit never have fear? Is that what we're saying? Well, did Paul consider Timothy a child of God? He did. If you look in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also." Paul considered Timothy to be a child of God. And yes, he did have fear. So when we say that he hath not given us the spirit of fear, he has given us the Holy Spirit, that's not to say that God's children never experience fear. Now let me give us three truths from the Word of God this morning that I know in this matter of fear. First, fear came into this world with sin. Now, I know that. Because when God came and spoke to Adam, he said, "I was afraid." He never was afraid before. He never had fear before. But once he disobeyed God, once he, by his sin, brought sin into this world, he also brought fear. Now, I know that from the Word of God. Fear came into the world with sin, and until sin is completely removed from our presence, then we will always be liable to fear. I'm talking about God's children, even though we're not given the spirit of fear. But as long as we are in the presence of sin, sin in this world, sin in ourselves, then we will always be liable to experience fear. The second thing I know about fear from the Word of God, fear is one of the most debilitating things that any of God's children ever experience. Fear. Let me give us two examples. Let's go back to Exodus first. Fear is one of the most debilitating things that God's children may experience in this world. In Exodus chapter 14, beginning with verse 10. Before we read that, Exodus 14 and verse 10, let's read this verse in Exodus 13 and verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 13. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Now, the first thing to see here is God led the people to the place they are in here in chapter 14, beginning with verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, fear. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. What caused the Israelites to utter such words? It was because of fear. Because they were afraid. When you think of all the signs, the frogs, the water turned to blood, the lice, the darkness, when you think of all the signs and wonders that they had witnessed in Egypt, and now when they come to the first real test, they're filled with fear. They are afraid. And they don't know what to do. And they tell Moses, it would have been better if you had just left us in Egypt and we had continued there as the slaves of the Egyptians. They were weakened, debilitated. Fear is one of the most debilitating things that any child of God may experience in this world. Another example in Matthew chapter 14. One example in the Old Testament, one now in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning with verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were in a ship crossing the sea of Galilee. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But now notice this, but when he saw the wind boisterous, are we to believe that the wind only became boisterous when Peter stepped out of the ship? Of course not. The wind was boisterous before the Lord Jesus Christ came walking unto them upon the water. But Peter was afraid and begins to sink when his eyes are taken off of the Lord Jesus Christ and he sees the wind. The wind. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. The wind had been boisterous before he got out of that ship, and he wasn't afraid. But it was when he stepped out of the ship, going to Jesus Christ, that he sees the wind, and now he is afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." So I know these three things about fear. It came into the world with sin. And until we are free from the very presence of sin, God's children, all of us, are liable to fear. And number two, fear is a very weakening thing that we may experience. And three, I know this from the Word of God. Fear is one of the tools that Satan has used. It's one of the tools that Satan has used. He has a lot of experience in using this tool of fear. Because the Scripture says that it is through fear of death that he keeps men in bondage. It is through fear of death that Satan keeps men in bondage. He's done this as long as sin has been in this world. Satan has been here. And this is one of the things he uses. Now, let me give us three helps with dealing with fear. First of all, remember this truth. We have been given the spirit of truth, not the spirit of fear. And greater is he than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The apostle tells us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist his insinuations. Resist his fiery darts. Resist the doubts that he may cause you to have, and resist the fear that you feel. Remember that greater is he, the Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in you than the spirit that is in this world, that is Satan. Just keep that always in mind. Second, consider the promises that he has given us. You know, I'm convinced that God's children have fears from many different things. But there's a promise in the Word of God. I'm just as sure as this as I am standing here before you today. There is a promise in the Word of God that will meet that particular fear. One of his great and exceeding precious promises. And those promises are for us. Is it fear of what may happen? That's a fear sometimes that God's children have, what may happen. It's not actually happening right now, but it just may happen. Comes into your mind, the thought of something that may happen to cause you fear. Think about this promise. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will. All things. Just like we saw the children of Israel were in that particular place. God led them there. They didn't get there by accident. And no matter where we are in our life, we know that the God of the Bible is a God who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We just know that. Is it fear of deprivation? That you're going to be in a situation, maybe you're close to that now. Or you just imagine there's going to come a time when you're not going to have enough. There's not going to be sufficient. The cupboard's going to be bare. The bank account's going to be empty. Is it fear of deprivation? Remember what our Lord said, Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? God feeds the birds. And you know, one of the ways he feeds the birds, he puts it into your heart to go to the store and buy a bird feeder. Put that bird feeder out there in the backyard or wherever you put it and buy feed and fill it up. What are you doing? You're accomplishing God's purpose. You're doing what you want to do, yes, but in doing what you want to do, you're doing what God has ordained. That's one of the ways he feeds the birds. When I lived in Mérida, Yucatan, on the plaza there, every evening, just before it got dark, there was a lot of men who earned their living by shining shoes, and they were there on the plaza. But there was one man I know while I was there, I don't know, there may have been more than one, but every afternoon, he would pull out a little paper sack about this big and start throwing feed up into the air. And boy, those birds would accumulate. They would come. What was he doing? He was feeding the birds. He was fulfilling God's will. The man himself probably didn't have much, but yet he was fulfilling God's purpose. God feeds the birds. And our Lord said, aren't you? He didn't say, aren't you? He said, you are of more value than the birds. Is it fear of loneliness? You know, some people, they're afraid, well, I'm just going to be left all alone. My family's going to be gone, and I'm going to be here by myself. Is it fear of loneliness? He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Is it fear of not being able to cope? Well, my situation may change, and it may be such that I'm just not able to cope with this situation, whatever it may be. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Is it fear of death? Remember what the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Someone one time said, God has those two dogs. One's named Goodness and one's named Mercy. And those two dogs, they just follow God's sheep all the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Forever. So that's the second thing. Consider the promises he has given us. And a third way in dealing with fear is to praise the Lord, to praise God. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, or Jehovah, and rejoice before him. He rides upon the heavens, and he is above and over every situation and circumstance that God's children we may ever find ourselves in. Sing praises unto him. One of the hymns we sing sometimes, and it's very good. Hymn is very good to practice. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you. Even when you're filled with fear and gloom and whatever your situation is, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all you heavenly hosts, and all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, let's look for just a... Well, let's not do that. Maybe we'll take another time to look at the positive. But we've looked at the negative. God, if you're a child of God, God has given you his Spirit. But he's not the spirit of fear. He sure isn't. He's the spirit of comfort if you look to him and trust him and believe him. I pray the Lord would bless this word to all of us here this morning. Let's sing hymn number 462.